भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतस्सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम एवरीवन। टुडे वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग टू स्टडी श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 Chapter 6 entitled The Activities of Lord Rishabdev. Text 17. So this is prose. We will just read it. Yasyam eva kavaya atmanam aviratam vividha vrijna samsara parita papopadyatmanam अनुसवानं स्नाप्ययन्तस्तयैव परया निर्वृत्त्य हि अपवर्ग्यम् आत्यन्तिकं परमं पुरुषार्थम् अपि स्वयम् आसादितं नो एवाद्रियन्ते भगवति यत् तेनैव परिसमाप्त सर्वात्तः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Devotees always bathe themselves in devotional service in order to be relieved from the various tribulations of material existence. By doing this, the devotees enjoy supreme bliss and liberation personified comes to serve them. Nonetheless, they do not accept that service, even if it is offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. For the devotees, liberation, mukti, is very unimportant, because having attained the Lord's transcendental loving service, they have attained everything desirable and have transcended all material desires. Purport. Devotional service unto the Lord is the highest attainment for anyone desiring liberation from the tribulations of material existence. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 6:22, Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tataha. Gaining this, one thinks that there is no greater gain. When one attains the service of the Lord, which is non-different from the Lord, one does not desire anything material. Mukti means relief from material existence. Vilva Mangal Thakur says, Muktihi mukulitanjalihi sevetas asman. For a devotee, mukti is not a very great achievement. Mukti means being situated in one's constitutional position. The constitutional position of every living being is that of the Lord's servant. Therefore, when a living entity is engaged in the Lord's loving service, he has already attained mukti. Consequently, a devotee does not aspire for mukti, even if it is offered by the Supreme Lord Himself. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपं कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपादान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीजुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम्। సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరీజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగనా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియ వాంఛాకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమః ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామో రామ రామో హరే హరే జయ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా బృందావన్ బిహారీ భగవాన్ కీ జయ శ్రీ గౌరంగ మహాప్రభు కీ జయ హరే కృష్ణ సో ఎవ్రీవన్ వెల్కమ్ వీఆర్ కంటిన్యూయింగ్ టు డిస్కస్ ద లైఫ్ అండ్ పాస్ట్ టైమ్స్ ఆఫ్ రిషబ్ దేవ్ వాజ్ an incarnation of Vishnu himself. He had the ruling potency of the Lord. So it is Lord personified in the role of a king. And therefore from Prithu Maharaj, from Rishabhdev, that is about Prithu Maharaj, about Rishabhdev, he teaches his sons lessons about life and Vairagya. Srila Prabhupada says that many times these are the most important lessons that we need to learn about Atman, about Ishvara. So here, in today's text, number 17, we are seeing that Prithu Maharaj, anyone, Shukdev Goswami is saying that I have described to you the life and activities of Rishabhdev. Anyone who chants these activities, does kirtan, does shravanam and kirtan of the glorious life of Rishabhdev, they will attain bhakti, pure devotion to Krishna's lotus feet. That was in verse 16. And in today's verse, it says that those who attain such pure devotional service, they already get relief from samsara. They are beyond samsara. So, for them, they are already situated in transcendence. For them, mukti is also not very interesting. It's not very appealing. So, even if Krishna himself offers a devotee, please take this mukti, the bhakta will ask only one question. Is there some seva for me in that mukti? If yes, I'm interested for the seva in it, but not for the mukti per se. So a devotee is not interested in liberation because a devotee is already swimming in the ocean of bhakti ras, which is sweeter than the neutrality of liberation. This is what Shloka 17 is telling us today. So first let us try to understand, even mukti is a very lofty, bona fide goal. 99.9% people in this world are not interested in even mukti. They are busy with artha, kama. And some of them may do it in a dharmic way. So dharma, artha, kama. But very few people ever aspire or think about the third dimension, which is liberation. So they are happy sustaining their wealth generation and their sense gratification. How can I do it in a pious, sustainable, harmless way and continue to live happily in this world? That is dharma, artha, kama. That is one plane. But mukti is another dimension. It is like a third dimension arising out of a two-dimensional plane. So very few people aspire for mukti. So what is the premise of mukti? Why is mukti needed? Is mukti even a relevant goal? Right? So it depends on what our thought process is. Do we think that this world is an enjoyable place? If yes, then mukti is not for us. All the schools of Indian system of philosophy, they say that in this bhautik jagat, it is sarvam dukkham. Everything is frustrating in embodied life. I am a pure, blissful jiva which is embodied, encaged in this material body. Once I take this embodied form in this material world, everything is distressful, everything is frustrating. So if we live a life based on bodily or mental stimulation, even emotionality or sensuality or intellectualism, nothing is going to satisfy us. Sarva dukkham. This is the conclusion of all scriptures, of yoga, of Sankhya, of Vedanta, even of Buddhism. One of the first of the four noble truths of Buddhism is that this world is miserable. So, we try to find happiness in so many different ways, but we still remain unfulfilled. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. Nobody wants distress in life. Everyone is working hard for happiness, but still everyone gets distress. How? I didn't want it. Why am I getting it? It's part of the design of this world and also your karma. So now, if we go and tell our friends and teachers and co-workers in our society that this world is full of misery, they say, you better go and meet a therapist. You need psychiatric treatment. And you go to a therapist, they'll give you antidepressant. This world is for enjoyment. What are you saying? What suffering? So much enjoyment is there in this world. You can have a yacht, you can have a mansion, you can have a vacation, you can be in the best places and enjoy in so many beautiful ways. But that is not what our scriptures say. Our tradition says that finding this material world to be miserable doesn't need psychiatric treatment. On the other hand, it is the first sign of wisdom or enlightenment. Because only when we are unfulfilled with this world will we look for a spiritual life. Why would somebody be interested in spiritual direction if they are already fulfilled in material existence? So sarva dukkham is enlightenment in our Indian tradition. It should be celebrated. So we understand that we, the soul, are incompatible in this body, in this material world. How did we land up here? Because we wanted to enjoy like Paramapurusha, whose creation is this Prakriti. So we thought, why don't I become a Purusha and enjoy Prakriti? So Krishna said, okay, so be it. So go to the Jagat. Go to the material world where you can try to get this facility. Just like a child insists, a five-year-old kid sitting next to a parent driving a car, the kid will insist, I also want to drive the car. The parent will say, your feet will not reach the pedal only. No, I want to drive. Theek hai, I'll give you a toy car. So this material world is a toy car wherein we want to fulfill our desire to feel being a controller and enjoyer. If not the real car, at least the toy car. But who's driving? I am driving. There is some aham. So for that aham, which is born out of envy of Krishna, we land in this material world. So it is a gross misuse of our free will. That is the reason we exist here. So we try, we fail. Once we have made the choice of independently trying to enjoy, we cannot change it. Like somebody goes to the top of a 30-storied building and then they decide life is too much. I want to jump. And they jump. And midway they remember, oh my God, my auntie left me an inheritance of millions of dollars. Life is not that bad. But you cannot change your decisions once you have already made the choice. So we are in this samsara because of misuse of our free will and we cannot change it now. We can only reconnect with Krishna. That is yoga. So while we are here, we'll have to go with the waves of material duality. So what does Lord Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Now that you are here, what can you do about it? Nothing. Just tolerate. Tolerate the dualities of happiness, distress, heat and cold, praise and insult. Understand that you are in a wrong place and therefore tolerate. There is another school of thought which tries to rectify everything. You may rectify something, but you are on quicksand. For how long will it work? So that is not Vedic approach. Vedic approach is to change our identity, not to fix our situation. So connecting again, the covering that we have, the covering that has overcome our real identity. We are actually transcendental, but avidya or ignorance has covered that transcendental nature. And we have to rediscover that transcendental nature. That is through yoga. And how is that possible? As Lord recommends in the Bhagavad Gita, invest your mind in me. Fix your mind in me. Invest your intelligence in me. In that way, you will be with me. So investing our intelligence, fixing our mind in Krishna is the way of connecting back to Krishna. So that is called bhakti. And bhakti gives rasa. That is sublime happiness. So Rishabhdev, through his example, he is rejecting material enjoyment, rejecting mystic siddhis, not contemplating on liberation. That is the example that Rishabhdev is setting. That having achieved bhakti, there is no greater gain. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, what is mukti? Mukti hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavastiti. Mukti basically means to give up all false designation and finally be situated in your constitutional position. So if you are already a devotee of Krishna, you are already situated in your constitutional position. So therefore you are already liberated. It's like what we might have some hobbies in our childhood. When you were in school, what was one thing that you loved to do? For example, that you could do for hours together. Right? Chess. Okay, you are intellectual. Any other thoughts? What would you do as a child which you loved and you could do it for hours together? Some game, some sport. Cricket. How much you could play for hours together, right? Now you are an adult. Now you are a devotee. How much can you do it now? How much cricket can you play? How much chess can you play? You cannot, because you have a higher taste. It seems childish. So for somebody who has attained bhakti ras, to look back to mukti is childish. It has no taste. So it is a natural symptom of one's advancement and devotional service. Very important to understand, is mukti a spiritual goal? This is the next discussion. So first, till now we understood why are we here and what is the importance of mukti to get us out of this samsara. So mukti is a very lofty, authentic, bona fide goal. Very few fraction of the people in this world are interested in it. But even in that small fraction, there are some fortunate few who attain the mercy of Guru and Krishna and get bhakti. For them, they have a higher taste and liberation doesn't taste interesting for them. So this is what we have seen till now. Now we should discuss, is liberation a spiritual goal? How does it definitely is a spiritual goal? What are you talking? How many of you think it is not a spiritual goal? Okay, any other thoughts? That's a very good answer. Depends on where you are. If you are in fifth standard, then graduation is a big goal. But if you are a PhD, then graduation is like already accomplished. Petty. It was so easy to do. So yes, it depends on the practitioner. But what I'm trying to share here is just think of bhoga and tyaga as two sides of the same coin. Attachment is bad, And negative attachment is also bad. That is what Lord Krishna says in the Gita. Don't be attached to not doing your work. And also don't be attached to inaction. So both attachment to something and aversion from something are both duality. They are both material dimension. So what mukti is a representation of is just aversion from this material world. I tried to get some material rasa out of bhoga, but I didn't get it. I'm frustrated. Now take me out of this. That is tyaga. So bhoga and tyaga are both born out of material dimension. For example, you know, in maths you have a number line. There is 0 and there is plus 1, plus 2, plus 3, plus 4. That is bhoga. I want to engage and enjoy this world. Then there is, on this side of the number line, there is minus 1, minus 2, minus 3. That is tyaga. I don't want to enjoy this world. I'm done. I tried, but I failed. It's not that I didn't want to do. I could not do it successfully. Therefore, I am frustrated. So, vairagya or tyaga, which comes out of frustration of bhoga, is just a material dimension. It is on the same number line. It is not a third dimension like bhakti ras, which is a positive, blissful experience. So here, Rishabhdev is demonstrating by his own example that devotees are disinterested in liberation, in mukti. So we should understand, the conclusion is that both attraction and repulsion are born from material energy. That is, both are not the nature of the soul. At the Brahma Bhuta level, na shochati na kankshati. Somebody who has given up the attachment and aversion, they can rise to the Brahma Bhuta level. Brahma Bhuta level is transcendence. There, these dualities don't touch you. So connecting to Krishna, because Krishna is transcendental, and that connection with Krishna is transcendental, so therefore we also become transcendental when we are practicing bhakti. It is not our credit. It is the credit of connection to someone powerful. If you know the Prime Minister of the country, you really have access to power. But is it your power? No, it is your connection with a powerful person. That is exactly how bhakti makes the practitioner transcendental. So liberation is tyaga. The emotion is that of neutrality. There is no positive experience of rasa. They are not aware of the possibility of developing a loving relationship with a personal God. This is beyond the conception of those who are within the material energy. Right? So there is no difficulty in making the choice if you have to choose between liberation and mukti. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in a Shiksha Ashtakam, Mama Janmani Janmanishware Bhavata Bhaktir Ahaituki Tvai. I don't mind being in the cycle of samsara, but what I want is bhakti. I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want even liberation. I want bhakti, whether you give it to me in this samsara or you give it to me in your spiritual world, Goloka. So what we finally should aspire for is to be Narayana Parayana. That is the best goal of life. To be absorbed in Narayana. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur says, as Srila Prabhupada quotes here, Mukti Mukutir Mukulitanjali. So for a devotee, Mukti is standing with folded, Mukti Devi is standing at the door of a devotee with folded hands. Let me serve you. What does the devotee say? What does the devotee say? Please wait. Why? I'm proud. I'm superior. I'm busy in Krishna Seva. Please don't disturb me. I'm busy in Krishna Seva. I'm getting so much positive bliss in Krishna Seva that I don't want the neutrality of liberation. I have something superior. Why do you want to take it away? So, where does this come in Bhagavad Gita? Bhakti is given at the stage of liberation. This comes in the 18th chapter. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma. Na Shochati Na Kankshati. So, Mad bhakti labhate param. At that level of Brahmabhuta, a person gets bhakti. So bhakti actually starts after liberation. Yes, there is adav shraddha, sadhu sang. But when acharyas talk of shuddha shraddha, that happens at the stage of Brahmabhuta, which is anishtita bhajan. After overcoming the anartha nivritti, that is when bhakti really starts. But our acharyas have been very merciful to give us all, allow us to wear the tag of devotee. Are you devotee? Mercifully, but devotee is a very high state. So now for those who have achieved bhakti, we are seeing from their perspective that liberation also seems pale. But for somebody who has not achieved bhakti, for them there are very strict regulations in the scriptures, in Vedas. You have to do this dharma. So that there is so much of duties to do that our day will start and end with just trying to do those duties. So it is very rare and a very great fortune if we attain bhakti to Lord Shri Krishna's lotus feet. So one who attains pure Shraddha, there can be no better gift in their life than that. Shraddha, what is Shraddha? What is pure faith? Shraddha shabde vishwase kahe sudrida nishchaye Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krit hoye. When somebody has resolute faith that just by performing devotional service, I'll also do all the obligations to everyone else, including Devarshi, Bhutaptan, Rinam, Pritrinam, the society, the family, the sages, everyone, all my responsibilities are taken care of if I perform sincere devotion. Why? Because we are watering the root of the tree. Krishna is the source of all existence, the cause of all causes. So with that understanding, when somebody practices bhakti, then they don't need to do any other lower responsibility. So first we saw bhakti is the bhoga and tyaga, attachment and aversion, karma and mukti are all in the material energies dimension. Okay? So having a desire for liberation is also a personal selfish desire. So we jnanis try to become desireless, but they still have a desire for liberation. So in that way they are selfish. And anyone who has selfish desire is ashanta. Right? Mukti kami, bhukti mukti siddhi kami, sakala ashanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta. How can you become shanta? And after shanta comes ananda. How can you be peaceful and then experience bliss? Only when you are nishkama. Nishkama means not even desiring for liberation. How can a devotee achieve it? Because taking shelter of Krishna is a form of seva. Krishna, how can I love you? How can I serve you? There is nothing selfish in that. So as soon as we align our desires, our aspirations with Krishna, it becomes akarma. So nishkam karma offered to a personal form of God, Krishna, is nothing but seva. And that pure devotional service is bhakti, which we are talking of. So it is the best and the most blissful way of performing nishkama. When you have to give in charity, is that a sacrifice? Yes, it is a sacrifice because you have to part with something that you could enjoy. There is an opportunity cost. But if you love the other person, then is it a sacrifice? No, it is a gift. And you are happy in giving. So when we offer nishkam karma to Krishna who we love, it doesn't remain a sacrifice. It becomes loving devotional service. That is the whole progression of Bhagavad Gita. To take us from sakama to offering everything to Krishna. Mai eva mana adatsva. So this is the whole journey from selfishness to selflessness. So that is the position, that is the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam. What should we aspire for? We should aspire for selfless, loving devotion to Sri Krishna, Sri Radha Krishna. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Devotees are like Makara. Makara is the king of fishes. We don't get to see real Makara today, but Makara is loosely referred to as sharks. So the nature of shark is that they swim deep in the ocean. The net of the fisherman which is on the surface is no problem to the sharks who are deep within the ocean. For those who remain on the superficiality of religiosity, they can get trapped in samsara. But those who have devotion to Krishna, they are like sharks, they are swimming in deep waters. They do not care for liberation. Liberation is referred to as an ocean in which all rivers of liberation finally take shelter of. Such a beautiful analogy in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So liberation is like different rivers. Where do all the rivers finally go? Into the ocean. And ocean is nothing but Bhakti Rasa Amrit Sindhu. When you have access, when you can joyfully swim in the ocean of Bhakti Ras, which is so sweet, which is so blissful, you don't care about the rivers, right? So devotees ignore liberation because they prefer to play in the ocean of Bhakti Ras. This is the teaching of this shloka. So Kapila Dev says to his mother when he's talking about pure devotional service, Salokya Shashti Samipya Sarupya Aikatvam Apyuta Diyamanam Na Grinanti Vina Matsevanam Janaha. What is Kapila Dev saying to his mother? That a pure devotee is not interested in any of the five kinds of liberation. What are the five kinds of liberation? Salokya, living on the same planet as the Lord. Sarashti, Samipya is living in proximity to the Lord. Sarupya is having the same form as the Lord, Vishnu form. Shashti is having the same opulence as the Lord. So these four liberations are also not interesting to a devotee if they don't have an opportunity of service in them. And finally, ekatva, merging. Sharashti, that is a punishment for devotees. Merge in you. Am I insane? The very concept of bhakti is born out of duality of Ishvara and Jiva. If we accept the idea of merging, then we are denying the eternal idea of eternal individualism. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjun, I, you and all these kings have always been present, are present and will be present. So Krishna is eternal, Jiva is eternal. A Jiva cannot become Ishvara. So if we accept Sharashti or merging into the Lord, then we are denying that there is a duality in these two. And without a difference, how can there be a connection, a devotion, a service? If you want to make friendship with someone because you want to use their influence to gain something, then that is not friendship. It is what? Would you like to have such a friend who is manipulating you so that they can gain from you? What is it called? Is it friendship? Then what is it? Huh? Business. It's a fraud. So Bhagavatam says all kaitav dharma is kicked out. You want karma, but you are taking the name of bhakti, and actually you want karma? Reject. You want mukti, but actually you are worshipping Krishna? That is jnana mishra bhakti. Reject. It is actually cheating religion. So there is a very beautiful pastime when Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. That Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, after becoming a devotee, he is reading the scriptures and he finds the word mukti pade. He said, this is so inappropriate. And he changes it to bhakti pade. And Lord Chaitanya comes and is surprised. Why are you editing the scriptures? So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya says, mukti pade is wrong usage. Bhakti pade is the right teaching. So very beautiful two shlokas we will see. This is in Madhya Leela. Bhattacharya kahe, bhakti sama nahe mukti phala, bhagwat bhakti vimukhe rahaya danda kevala. What is mukti? Mukti is danda for a devotee. Mukti is punishment for a devotee. Forget not having it as an aspiration. It is a punishment. It is a curse. Would you ever give punishment to your well-wishers? So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, the awakening of pure love of Godhead, which is the result of devotional service, when somebody has prema, that far surpasses liberation from material bondage. But for those who are averse from devotional service, bhakti vimukha, those who are disinterested in bhakti, have no faith in God, for them, merging into the Brahman effulgence is a great aspiration, but for devotees, it is a kind of punishment. Who gets rewarded merging into Lord's effulgence, if you know from Krishna Leela? Demons. The destination that Krishna gives to demons is to let them merge in his effulgence. So the result, the goal that is reserved for demons, how can that be a goal for devotees? It is a punishment, it is a danda. Why is it a danda? Srila Prabhupada beautifully summarizes in the purport. Srila Prabhupada says, if one is destined to remain in Lord's impersonal effulgence, means somebody is merged in Brahmajyoti, Shashti, what happens then? He misses the opportunity to render service to the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, devotees consider remaining in Brahman effulgence as a kind of punishment. Because you cannot serve there. You are floating in an unlimited mass of effulgence, which is Krishna's personal effulgence. Why are they punished like that? Because of their impersonal understanding, because they disrespect the personal form of the Lord. Krishnera vigraha yei satya nahi mane, yei ninda yuddhaika karetara sane, yei duaira dandahai brahma sayujya mukti, tara mukti phale nahi yegare bhakati. So Bhattacharya continued, the impersonalist who do not accept the transcendental form of Lord Shri Krishna, one category, and second category, and the demons who are always engaged in blaspheming and fighting with Krishna. Both of them are punished by being merged into the Brahman effulgence. But that does not happen to the person engaged in devotional service of the Lord. There is also a very beautiful shloka in the 10th canto, which we quote when we say, what happens if somebody gains liberation, but they don't have faith in the personal form of God? Yanni arvindaksha vimuktamaninas tvai asata bhavat avishuddha buddhaya aruya krichena param padam tata patanti adho anadrita yushmat angraya. Somebody may have overcome the samsara, okay, and they might think that they are liberated, but their intelligence is impure. Impure means they still have a mental conception, a bodily conception of life. In that, they want relief through liberation. So that contamination makes them disrespect Lord's personal form. They do not accept. And what is the destination of such people? Even if they consider themselves liberated, which they are not, they patanti adha, they fall down from that so-called situation of liberation. So, mukti is, as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, it is a punishment which is given only to demons. And Prabodhananda Saraswati, what does he call mukti as? What is sharashti, merging into the Lord's form? In the words of Prabodhananda Saraswati, what does he equate it to? Narakayate, it is hellish. So something that is a punishment, something that is hellish, how can it be of any interest to a devotee who has such a higher taste of bhakti rasa? And when we see the six symptoms, the six characteristics of kevala bhakti, one of them is moksha laguta krit. Bhakti makes moksha insignificant, or it makes moksha seem petty. What a small thing, not interested. I have bigger things to do. So, let us just So we here establish that how mukti is not of any interest to devotees. In fact, it is a punishment. It is hellish. So we saw various shlokas from scriptures to validate that. Now, is it wrong to meditate and aspire for liberation? Like Prabhu said, no, it depends on where you are in your journey of evolution of consciousness. So for some people, especially the jnanis, they want to experience their own consciousness, pure consciousness. Pure consciousness means sat chit. That chit, how am I the soul? When we say self-realization, atma sakshatkar, that is the goal of the jnanis. That I want to experience who am I as the pure consciousness. There is nothing but pure consciousness. And I am experiencing my own consciousness. So conscious is experiencing the consciousness. That is their goal of life. I want to experience Atma Sakshatkar. So that is moksha. But that is not what a devotee wants. As we saw, devotee sees a difference between Jiva and Ishvara. For a devotee, the highest goal is not to experience full consciousness of the soul. So if there is something beyond oneself, okay, I experience myself, I gain self-realization. But is that enough? If you are not comfortable with the idea that there is nothing beyond you. So the monists, the impersonalists, they think that self-realization is the highest achievement. But a devotee thinks definitely there is something beyond the jiva. I didn't create this universe. I cannot control even my own life. How can I foolishly believe that self which I have realized is only God? It's wrong. It's ridiculous. So a devotee sees that there is something beyond realizing the self. And what is that? That is Ishvara. In philosophical language, it is Ishvara. In the language of Bhagavatam, it is Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan. So, devotees don't want to be so merged in consciousness of experiencing their Atma that they miss meditating on Krishna. Devotees accept that there is something beyond my pure self, and that is, so where is Bhagwan? Bhagwan is not in your mind. Bhagwan is a different state. And we have to bring Bhagwan in our mind. That is the goal of a devotee. Not to experience pure consciousness, but after having experienced pure consciousness, investing that pure consciousness to meditate on the absolute truth. So that is the difference. So, bhakti literally starts where jnana ends. If you understand it in the right way. Bhakta wants to be conscious of Bhagwan. And Bhagwan is external to our consciousness. So, even if I am sat and chit, I have full awareness of my consciousness. But Bhagwan is external to my consciousness. And when I want Bhagwan to manifest in my mind, that is bhakti yoga. So when jnanis do japa, they are not doing japa to meet Krishna. They are doing japa so that they can focus on an unchanging object. They see Bhagwan as the most suitable object of meditation. Because if you meditate on this glass, it might shift, it might move, so it will be distractive. What is the one thing that is unchanging? The best goal object of meditation is Bhagwan. So it might appear that they are also chanting God's names, but there is a huge difference. They use Bhagwan as a ladder so that they can go beyond their mind to have experience of their pure consciousness. They want Atma Sakshatkar, and they are using Bhagwan as a means to reach that Atma Sakshatkar. Their encounter with Krishna is not ultimate. It's only initial intermediary. For them, Bhagwan is a means to their goal of moksha. For a devotee, Bhagwan is the means and Bhagwan is the end. Moksha is out of question. So beautiful shloka which comes, it says, Atmaramascha Munayo, Nirgrantha Api Urukrame, Kurvanti Ahaituki Bhakti, Ittam Bhuta Gunaha Hari. Even those who are self-realized, they have experienced the pure bliss of Atma, Brahmanand. Even they are attracted to a loving, delightful, innocent butter thief, Krishna. That is the nature of Krishna. Krishna's qualities and pastimes can attract even the mind of the Atmarama. Those who have achieved liberation. Nobody can resist being enchanted by Krishna. So Vyasdev went through that experience. Shukdev Goswami went through the experience. They were monists. But even in that liberated state, they were attracted by Krishna's quality. So that proves the superiority of Bhakti Ras. So when Jnanis do Japa, their goal is not to have a loving relationship with Krishna. Their goal is to use Krishna to reach their goal of experiencing consciousness. There is nothing but awareness. It's just you and consciousness. So that is not what we want. So that is not really love. Therefore it is cheating religion, where you use Bhagwan as a prop so that you can experience your own Atman. So if I make friendship with you to gain your property, that is cheating religion, as we saw. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I can give you that Atma Sakshatkar, which the Jnanis want. Devotees say, I don't want it. I want your seva. So we should understand that the role of Ishvara is different in Jnana and in Bhakti. In Jnana, the role is of Ishvara is only functional. It is a good means of meditation. But for a devotee, it is the final destination. So therefore, Jiva Goswami points out these impersonalists as cheating religion. You want moksha, so do Jnana. Now, why are you using the form of making a show of bhakti? Your bhakti is not for Krishna, your bhakti is for your own moksha. So what is your true goal? So at the heart of bhakti is to have a heart-to-heart connect with Krishna. So that opens up the possibilities of connecting to Krishna in any of the four rasas. You know, where your Ishvara is a playful person who is charming, who is mischievous, who is naughty. So there is no majesty and reverence and no namo namaha. You want to make Krishna your friend. You want to make Krishna your lover. That is the exclusive rasa that Lord Chaitanya has come to give us. Madhurya. So we should not forget our unique inheritance. So both mukti is also a bona fide goal according to scriptures, but once somebody tastes the rasa of bhakti, for them it is of no interest, it is pale. So this was a few thoughts on this topic of bhakti being uninteresting, punishment, hellish for the devotees. So thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Else we will conclude here. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you for coming here, graced by your presence.
It has been mentioned that the liberated souls, like earlier Kalpas, Brahma and Ananta Brahmas, they are still studying Bhagavatam. See, so then in Mukti also we are doing Bhakti only, then why we are rejecting Mukti? Because it is mentioned that one Brahma is chanting Vishnu Sahasranam and he said, this word I have not heard, and this Kalpa, God has shown this quality, oh I missed that.
Correct.
So my question is, if that Mukti also we are going to do Bhakti only.
I mean, it's like if you have a bachelor in technology and you also have a PhD, what do you identify yourself as? You will identify yourself as a doctor, not as a bachelor of science. So bhakti is like a more progressive achievement. So when somebody, as we discussed, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Shochati Isna Kangshati. So Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. Bhakti is obtained or produced at the level of liberation. So definitely those who have devotion, bhakti is also included. But devotees don't identify themselves as muktas or mumukshubhi. That is a side goal that comes on its own, even without trying. So definitely, like you rightly pointed out, those who are liberated souls, even they cannot fathom Krishna's infinite qualities and beauties. That, what is unique about Srimad Bhagavatam? It has all the qualities of all other Upanishads, right? Puranas. 10th canto is what is unique about Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Naam, Roop, Guna, Leela of Krishna is what makes Bhagavatam special, unique and the highest pramana. Because without connecting, how will you connect to a person? If I show you a picture of a group of school students, you will have no emotion. But if I tell you one of them is the founder of this biggest company in the world and next to him is the founder of the third biggest company, then you will wonder, oh wow. So to have a connection with someone, you have to know about them. And you can know about Krishna only through Dasham Skand. So access to 10th canto helps us connect to Krishna, which gives us a highest bhakti rasa, after which mukti seems insignificant. That is the superiority of Bhagavad Puran. So yes, Prabhu, you are right in saying. You are so learned in scriptures.
One more question was, like, we talk about four muktis, Sayujya, Salukya, Ekatva.
Yeah.
Why we are connecting that, that the next is Ekatva? Because we can use Shashti Vachan and it is like with these four, one can achieve the, go to the, these are the four things of this guy.
Correct.
So rather than putting that five things together.
Okay, sure. That is one way to read it.
Okay. Then we can't, we rejecting that we are not getting into him, you know.
Yeah.
And then we are
saying. That is how devotees, acharyas interpret.
Okay.
That is also right. Sure. Anything else? Any thoughts, questions, corrections? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.